Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. Yay. I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you, Darren, for asking me to come down here and speak. And I believe in sponsorship. In fact, two of my sponsees are here. Miss Pat is here from Monday Night Speakers. And Jennifer is here from 4D, 4 Dimension. And I love them both, and I've been sponsoring them for a long time, and I think they're almost perfect now. And I love young people, absolutely love the young people. Has anybody here been to a young people convention? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. If you haven't gone to a young people's convention, you've got to go. The energy is phenomenal. And I went to one, my friend Jane and James from Tallahassee, they came back and got me, and they said, come on, we're going to this young people's convention. I thought, oh my goodness, okay. Oh, I couldn't believe it. And everybody's saying, we love you, we love you, we love you, you know. And I mean, the love that was there was overwhelming. And whenever I go to a regular convention, I always used to feel bad for the person that had the most time. You know? they do this thing where the young person comes up, and then the person with the most time. And I used to feel so bad. I said, oh my God, they've got one foot in the grave. You know? These people are old. They are old. And I said, oh, thank goodness, and I'm never going to be there, you know. I'm never going to be the one that has the most time in the convention. Thank goodness, you know. Because I'll know that if that happens, I'm ready to die. You know? So anyway, they have this countdown. And if you haven't been to a young people's convention where they do the countdown, hang on to your seat. I mean, it is the most phenomenal thing in the world, you know. And so anyway, I had a bunch of my, Sandy was there, and a lot of my great grand sponsees was there. You know, the young people, they're there, and they know me, you know. And so they're counting down, they're doing all the counting downs and everything like that. And they get down to the person who has the most time in the whole convention, right? And so James looks over at me and he says, Kelly, that's you? And I said, oh no, it's not. I said, you go up there and do that. He says, Kelly, if you don't go up there and get that book away, I'm gonna drag you down there. And all of a sudden, all these people come over and they go, Kelly, 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 Kelly. I thought, how did they know? Those grand sponsees are blabbermouths, you know? They snitched on me, you know? So anyway, they take me down to give the book away, and all of a sudden I started feeling a part of it, you know, the energy. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I started feeling the energy, you know? And I'm like, yes, I'm a part of this. This is wonderful. Well, that happened for about 90 seconds, okay? So I get up there, and I give the book away, right? And then they said, so we've got a book for you, too. They give me the first 164 pages in big print. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, my name is Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. I'm so pleased to be here. And I sobered up the day before Thanksgiving, 1982. I'm 43 years sober. And I can't believe it. I still feel like a newcomer. Whenever they ask for newcomers, I always want to. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers! Yeah. All right. I'm a big sports fan. My husband, who is over here, he works for the Rays. So we believe in sports. I love sports. Anyway, I was born June 23rd, 1942. I'm 83 years old. younger, but anyway, now that I'm getting older, I don't have that much energy. But I'm a really bad drunk. My grandfather was a town drunk. He worked over at the steel places, and whenever he get paid, he would, in those days, they didn't go to the bank to cash a check, okay? They didn't have anything that zoomed the money over to a bank account. What he would do is take his check and go to the bar, and they had a bunch of cash there, you know? And what they would do is they would cash everybody's check, and then they start drinking. And then he would stop at every saloon on the way home, and by the time he got home, and we lived up on a hill, he was smashed. And a lot of times he'd fallen down, and the sheriff would pick him up, and then another day they drove him home. They'd drive Grandpa home. Well, Grandma was pre-Al-Anon, okay? She used to sit by the window, and she used to watch for him to come up that hill. And I used to sit with her sometimes, and I thought, you know, this is boring to sit here waiting for somebody to come home. This is really boring. I don't ever want to do this. I said, Grandpa must be having a lot more fun than sitting here. So anyway, here was Grandmother's Al-Anon answer. Or this was before pre-Al-Anon. She had a big iron skillet. And so when Grandpa walked in the door, he had this skillet, and she would say, give me your money. And then he would have very little of it. And he was drunk. And she used to rush him, run him around the house, and you could run in a circle there. And they'd run after each other, you know, middle of the night. Here they were with her. And then finally he would escape, and he'd crawl underneath the bed and just pass out and stay there till the next morning. And one day he sat me on his lap and he says, with your personality, you should never pick up that first drink. Because if you do, strange things are going to happen to you. I said, I can't wait. Anyway, in school, I wasn't very popular. And I was shut down. And, you know, you've seen some of us alcoholics. We like to be by ourselves. And we don't get along with anybody. We just sit by ourselves, and that was me. And I hated everybody. And I thought, I'm going to show these people. I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to get PFDs. I'll get so many PFDs that it's ridiculous, you know. And I says, I'll be smarter than anybody. And that was my plan. So if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. And I graduated from high school half a year early, and I went to a little college. It was a little city college, and I used to work in the daytime and go to school at night, right? And I think by myself, but one evening, the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm talking about? Just like this gentleman right here. Yeah, see, I can say that because I know I love him. Anyway, most handsome man in the world comes and walks on campus, right? And he had a Marine uniform on. Wow. Now, I've got atrial fibrillation, okay? But that night, my heart was beating out of my chest. And I just kept watching him like, and he went with the, he was dating the head cheerleader. His name was Judy. And I thought, oh my God, I can't believe how gorgeous he is. Then he comes over to me and he says, hey kid, do you like to dance? And I don't know where these words came from. But I said, I'm a dancing fool. I never even had a date, you know. He says, okay, come on, let's go dancing. Okay. He took me to a bar, sat me down at the end of the bar. I sat there and I looked up around. Everybody was squeaking at me. They were whispering about me. I knew they hated me. You know, you can tell. You know, the whole bar hated me. Honey, can I have some of my water? Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer. I can tell her to do that because I sponsor her. Thank you. I love you, honey. Anyway, all of a sudden, this chimney of Coca-Cola appears in front of me, and it had a little lime on it. And oh man, I was so thirsty, you guys. I mean, I needed a drink long before I ever took a drink. And I chug-a-lug, glug-glug-glug-glug-glug. And I felt that, oh, that drink go through my body. And it was massaging my organs as it got me down. Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, I'm thirsty again, you know? And another chimney of Coca-Cola appears in front of me, and I chugged it down. And I looked up, and I looked around, and the people were smiling at me. And then another chimney, and I chugged like that. I looked up, and I said, these people love me. And I came up with this term before any of you young people did, PFF. And I went around and told everybody, we're going to be best friends forever. I love you. I love you. And that night, I had my first date. I danced for the first time. I got out on that dance floor and did the boogie woogie. And I mean, I must have been real good because people came out and they were dancing with me, you know? They were trying to learn my stuff. And so I danced for the first time. I drank for the first time that night. I had sex for the first time. Las Vegas. We got married at the Little White Chapel. And we were drinking buddies. We would drink and then fight and drink and fight and drink and fight. Any of you had enriched relationships like that? all of us, okay. You know how much fun that is, you know? Oh my God. Absolutely. And when my little daughter, Tracy Lynn, was born, she was the most beautiful little baby I've ever seen in my life. And I told her, Tracy, you got a mommy and daddy that loves you, and you're going to have a wonderful life. And anyway, I didn't know how this happened, being Catholic, but all of a sudden, I'm pregnant again. How did this happen? You know, how in the world is this happening? And anyway, whenever I was 6.5 months pregnant with my son, I had my little daughter on my hip, and we were in our little apartment, and bang, bang, bang on the door, and it was the sheriff. And he looked real serious and opened up the door, and he says, he saw my condition, he says, can I come in and you sit down? He had another sheriff with him. I said, no, you're not coming to my home. He says, well, there was a terrible car accident, and your husband was killed in it. And he grabbed my little daughter out of my hands, and I fell down on that floor. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but all of a sudden, I just started going down, 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 down. And I didn't come out of that for 22 and a half years. 22 and a half years later, all my children were taken away from me ever, forever. I was drinking, I was on the street, and I was doing whatever I had to do to drink. And I did anything I had to do to drink, okay? Good Catholic girl. my last drink, by the way, I'm a bar drinker. I love sitting at that Mojave bar, you know, with beers behind it. And as the night went on, I'd watch myself, you know, and I'd get better looking, thinner, anyway, younger. It was a miracle what would happen, yeah. But anyway, this last time I drank, the police picked me up. Has anybody here been to Downey, California? Okay, Downey, California, okay? Okay, back there, okay? Okay, you know, in Downey, California, the cops don't know how to treat a lady. They told me that I was a drunken Skid Row derelict, female derelict, and they were going to take me back down, drop me off at 4th and Los Angeles Street. Anybody know where that is? Come on. Okay, yeah, you do? Okay, you know where it's at. It's a midnight mission, okay? And they put me in that jail cell and they slammed the aluminum door shut. And all of a sudden I had this feeling that there was somebody else in the cell with me. And I looked around and, oh my goodness, there was this crazy lady and she was in the cell with me. And I kept yelling for the sheriff, come and get me, there's a crazy lady in here. She's gonna hurt me, come and get me. And he wasn't coming to get me. And this lady, she had this red hair, it was all over the place. She had this bloated red face, but her eyes were so crazy. And I knew that she was gonna hurt me. And all of a sudden I had this moment of clarity. And I realized it was me staring at me in that aluminum door. And I couldn't believe what I had become. In 22 and a half years, I couldn't believe what I had become. And I fell on my knees and I begged God to take me home. I couldn't make it on this earth anymore. Just take me home. Take me home, God. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I'm 40 years old, you know. I'm too young. He's not going to take me now. So I said, well, God, let's renegotiate, okay? I can't make it on this earth. Could you kind of show me a way that I can make it on this earth? Now, I don't know if that prayer ever got out of that jail cell or not, you know? But the next thing that happened, the jailer comes in. He says, come on, you're getting out OR. I didn't know what OR meant. But I was going to tell him his job. No, you're supposed to put me in your car and drive me down to 4th and Los Angeles Street. And all of a sudden, something in my head went, shut up. And I go, okay, I'll shut up. And now, I'm not a criminal, so I don't know what OR means, but I got the heck out of there. And I went to the first bar I could find. And I walked in there, and I figured, well, they're going to be so happy to see a lady like me walking in, you know? They weren't. He says, I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind here. We're making Thanksgiving dinner for our customers, and we don't want your kind in here. And then he looked at me, and he says, hey, before I throw you out of here, would you like a bowl of soup? And I lied. I said, oh, I would love a bowl of soup. Lie. And he gave me a bowl of lentil soup that had little carrots floating around, you know. And he says, okay, there's a pay phone on that wall back there. Why don't you go call somebody to come pick you up? On that day, the day before Thanksgiving, 1982, there was not one human being that I could call that would come and get Kelly. There was not one human being in this world that would even accept a call from me. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And he put money on the bar. I got a lot of pride when I grabbed that money. Okay, so here's my plan, okay? In those days, you dial 411 and you get a live person on the phone, okay? It's directory assistance. and they talk to you, and you talk back to them. So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna talk, 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 and then I'll come back and say, hey, I talked to my friends. They're on their way to pick me up, and they told me to tell you to serve me whatever I want, and don't pay for it when they get here. Hey, I'm from the streets, you know, I'm a survivor. So anyway, that was my plan. And whenever I went up to the payphone, there was this neon yellow notice right next to it, just blaring out at me. It says, if you feel you have a problem with alcohol, call this number, we can help. I said, I'm gonna call this number, I'm gonna report this bar to them. Come on in, honey, there's a seat right down here. Come on, come. Okay, come on, take the walk, baby. Oh, there she is, there she is. That's my favorite baby, that's the son. Yeah, anyway, y'all know her. I love you, honey. Yeah, so I call the number, right? And what happens is a lady named Helen picks up the phone. She was answering phones the day before Thanksgiving. Thank goodness a live person was answering the phone at central office, or you'd have a different speaker here tonight, I guarantee. And she said to me, she says, Kelly, have you had a drink today? Yes. I said, that's why I'm calling you. I want to report this bar to you. They will not serve me. She says, good. Maybe you might be able to make it to your first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, what is that? And then she said these words to me. Yeah, turn that thing off. Thank you. Yeah, you turn them off. Okay. I sponsor her so I can push you around like that. It's written, by the way. Yeah. So anyway, she says to me, she said these words to me. You know how people can say something to you and all of a sudden it changes the trajectory of your life forever? Here's the words she said to me. You go to that AA meeting and they're going to be so happy to see you. Wow. I couldn't wait to get here. Oh my goodness, people happy to see me. Woo-hoo! So anyway, I showed up and the minute I saw you all coming to the meeting, I immediately started judging you. That's what we do as newcomers. As any newcomers in this room, you can judge me, baby. Go ahead. And I said, oh my God, look at them. They're hugging and kissing each other. Oh my God, they must live in the same apartment building together, too. Check that out. I sat in the meeting, and I sat right by the back door, and I thought, if they come near me, I'm leaving. Because if you found out what a lousy mother I was, and how lousy, lousy, lousy I was, and how horrible I was, and I'd been in jail 14 times, you know, you wouldn't want me. You wouldn't want me in here. So I sat by the back door, and if you came up to me, I was going to be out of here. And then the president of AA was up here. I know she was president because she was running the whole show, you know. And at the end of the meeting, she says, and will our newcomer lead us in the Lord's Prayer of her choice? And I looked around to see what one of the newcomers looked like, you know. And you were all looking at me. This guy named Steve Cooper took my hand. He says, honey, that's you. I said, I don't know how to pray. He says, say our Father as loud as you can and see what's happening. And I felt that electricity, you know. I felt the electricity, and it was, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I still, whenever we say our Father, I still feel it. And fast forward. I sobered up at a place called the Snake Pit. I went downhill from there, and nobody would sponsor me. Nobody would sponsor me. They all wanted to have me locked up in a nut house for observation. This one little lady, her name was Eileen, she came over to me and she says, Kelly, I want to take you to a meeting with me. And she says, I'll pick you up tonight, and we're going to go to the women's club. And that was the hoity-toity meeting, okay? I thought, oh, wow, she's going to take me to a meeting. She says, and afterwards, I'll take you out for dessert. Oh, my goodness, a friend, a friend, a friend. And here's the good news about people in AA. When they make a commitment to show up, and they show up. And she showed up, and I really trusted her. And she took me to this meeting, and she sat me right in the front row, just about where Miss Pat was sitting, you know? Oh my goodness, the craziest person I've ever heard in my life, okay? God, I thought it was the speaker that night. He said that he had been in the Texas insane asylum, walked up in it, and he had escaped. Now, I've got the disease where you can't get to me. My disease is locked on the inside of me. And the only way you can get in there is if I unlock it and let you in. And I was sitting there, and I heard that, and I says, oh, they locked me up. I've got to find out how you escape, you know? And I had a little bit of hope. He gave me hope. So I opened up my heart a little bit, and then he said this. He says, I got all five of my children back. Oh, my goodness, more hope. Open up my heart a little bit more. And then he said, I've been on my job for 25 years. I've been fired for 32 jobs before I got here, you know? How do you keep a job? And then he told me later, he says, yeah, you show up. Nobody told me that. And then he said this, he says, I can go to a meeting anywhere in the world, I can go to a meeting, and I walk in, and I'm among friends. Oh my goodness, he gave me so much hope. And I'm sitting there waiting, after he was through and everything, I'm sitting over there waiting for Eileen to come and get me. She never came and got me. I don't know why. But all these people were lined up and thanking him. And I'm sitting over there, and finally he looks over at me and he says, hey kid, did anybody ever tell you that after a speaker comes clear from 1212 Lake Street, clear to Downey, California to speak, that you're supposed to get up and thank them? And I says, no, nobody told me that. He says, oh, you're that girl. I thought I was famous. He says, here's what we're going to do with you. Tomorrow at 11:15 on the dot, not before, not after, on 11:15 on the dot, you're going to call this number, 213-624-9258. And he says, on the dot, and not before, not after. So I went back to the snake pit, and I kept my eye on that phone, you know, on the wall, and I wouldn't let anybody get near it because sometimes people got on and they talked for an hour, you know. I got an important phone call. You can't use it. And 11:15 on the dot, I call it, you know, 213-624-9258. And he answers, Clancy Imlinson. And Clancy became my sponsor. And I'm a member of the Pacific Group in Los Angeles, California. And Clancy used to go around and used to tell people, he says, you know, Kelly might have sobered up at the snake pit, but she got her recovery at the Pacific Group. And here's what he told me to do. He says, I don't even think the steps are going to work for you. He says, you're going to have to stay in the service all the rest of your life. Oh, I got my first resentment. I started going to step studies. I started reading the steps. I took myself through the steps. One night, I show up at the Pacific Group, and there he is, and I walk up to him. I saw Clancy, and then all the lieutenants, you know, are standing around. And they all turned around, but then they unrolled their eyes, you know. And he says, Kelly, what do you want? I said, Clancy, I want you to know I've taken the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I took myself through them. He goes, oh, you did? And all the lieutenants are laughing, you you know. I said, she asked, Clancy, I want you to know, I think that everybody in this world should work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he looked at me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he says, Kelly, the people in AA wish you would work the 12 steps of Alcoholics. Anyway, whenever I got married, he'd walk me down the aisle like a dog would, like a dad would and everything. And 25 years later, we haven't come out to the Church of Unknown Steppers and be our speaker. And he says, he says, I was sitting in the second row or something. He says, does everybody know Kelly? And everybody goes, oh yeah, we know her. Yeah. And, well, 25 years ago, I gave her away in marriage to Mike. And for 25 years, Mike's been trying to get her back to me. But we had a lot of fun. You know, we have a lot of fun. And Alcoholics Anonymous kind of sum this up. I got my children back. I found out that if I stopped going after stuff, that instead of, I'm in real estate, and instead of going after stuff, one of my sponsors sat me down and said, Kelly, all you're doing is getting stuff. And you know what? And the more stuff I got, the more hollowed out I got. He says, you know, you're starving your soul. I said, starving my soul? Yeah, everybody can see it, how you're starving your soul. Because you're going after stuff, thinking stuff is going to fix you, it's not. And so I called Sandy Beach up. And he says, oh yeah, Kelly, everybody knows it. I said, really? He says, yeah. I said, what do I do, Sandy? He says, you get non-conference approved literature called, oh, thank you, honey. Oh, man, it bought me a drink, huh? I think he likes me. If I was 6 months younger, you know? I gotta close this stuff up. Here's what I do on a daily basis. I have this little box. It's called a principles box. My friend Hope turned me on to it, and it has all the principles in this box. And every morning I reach in and I get one, and that is what I concentrate on today. So today I reached in, and what came up for me was humility. And so anyway, on the way here, I thought, I'm going to give you some of my thoughts about humility, you know? And so anyway, I wrote them down so I didn't forget them. But anyway, this is what came out of my head. Humility is lowering myself before God. Humility is total dependence on Him rather than self-reliance. Humility is remembering where I came from. Humility is knowing we can learn from everybody. Humility is the ability to admit mistakes. Humility is not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Humility is not stealing stories of others. You know how we go into a discussion meeting and somebody tells something horrific and then we gotta raise our hand and top it, you know? So I stopped doing that because I used to do that all the time. Yeah, listen to me, let me tell you, I don't do that anymore. Humility is allowing others to shine. Humility is being a good listener, and humility is being a servant of God. My name's Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for letting me.